praise from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same. Certainly we thank him for blessing us and allowing us the blessed privilege of being present in this place once again. Good to be in the house of the Lord, house of prayer, house of his blessings, house of his presence, and certainly elated, enamored to share this moment with you. And I pray that the sentiments are the same, that you consider yourself blessed to share this moment with me. John chapter 14, John chapter 15, John chapter 16. John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. John chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. John chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. That's the word of the Lord for the people of God. The word is blessed. May we be blessed by being hearers and doers of his holy and divine word. We're talking about the Holy Spirit as a divine personality, and we have already settled on the fact that the Holy Spirit is a person because he has a personality. He can think, he can feel, he can act to carry out his will, the will of the Father. So we know the Holy Spirit as a divine personality. The Holy Spirit reveals the mind of God to us. That if we are to know God, we need help to know God, that you cannot know God apart from the aid of the Holy Spirit. So he helps us to know the mind of God. The Holy Spirit fulfills the will of God for mankind. That we need the help of the Holy Spirit to fulfill the Lord's will. You can't fulfill the Lord's will by your own fickle and frail strength. You need the Holy Spirit. Oftentimes I hear people brag about how strong they are, but the truth is, in and of yourself, you're weak. Paul came to that conclusion. He says, when I'm weak, then am I strong. That apart from God, apart from his help, we are not strong enough to fulfill the will of God. So the Holy Spirit fulfills the will of God for mankind. The Holy Spirit expresses the emotions of God. He's a convicting spirit. Whenever you are out of line with God, it grieves the Holy Spirit. It saddens. He expresses the emotions of God. That God is not with everything. God is not approving of everything. Some things anger God. Some things sadden God. When God looks at the terrible condition of mankind, his heart is gripped and grabbed with sorrow. We see that in Genesis, that when man sinned, after man sinned, it grieved God, repented God that he made man. So he hit the reset button, wiped out the human race, all but eight. And because his heart was grieved, sin grieves God. That's why, as his children, we should not be glorying in sin, bragging, glad, happy about sin. Sin should upset us. Amen. Amen. But you know, nowadays we have so much coming at us, we don't know how to classify, how to deal with sin, because we have created so many concessions. Amen. The church is not herself. We don't say nothing of sin. Matter of fact, parents don't say nothing of sin, don't even warn children of sin. The destructive effects of sin, that the wages of sin is still death. Amen. God has not changed his mind. So God is saddened. The Holy Spirit expresses the emotions of God to us. So we have been dealing with the Holy Spirit, emblems of the Holy Spirit, and we have dealt with oil, that it represents the anointing and empowering of the Holy Spirit, that he anoints, he empowers, he equips us with what we need to get it done, to bring pleasure to his heart. We dealt with the Holy Spirit, emblematic of water, that the ministry of the Holy Spirit is compared to the function of water, that the Holy Spirit can refresh, quench, and cleanse. That he refreshes us. He quenches and he cleanses. So he brings forth life. I said to us on last week, I'm not stale. Now, you may, you know, consider yourself as stale, but I'm not stale. I am a fresh version of who God will have me to be. Yeah, I have life. I'm not going to act dead. I'm not going to come to church and act dead. I'm not going to walk around like a dead man. Amen. There is life in me because the Holy Spirit is in me. So I thank God for making me fresh. Amen. Refreshing me and quenching and cleansing. But then we said that the Holy Spirit is like wind, that the wind is a symbol of the Holy Spirit's power, that the Holy Spirit has the ability to change and transform human life. We can look in the mirror and see the evidence of the Holy Spirit, because we did not change ourselves. We did not change ourselves. The Holy Spirit is working in us. He's changing us. Amen. And when I look back over my life and I see where the Lord has brought me from, where the Holy Spirit has brought me from, I know I'm saved. I know I'm changed. Amen. Amen. You should know you're changed. There should be evidence of the Holy Spirit in you, and the evidence of the Holy Spirit in you is change. Change. The things you used to do, you shouldn't do now. Some of the places you used to go, you know, the club shouldn't be your place now. Amen. You used to like a whole lot of loud music. The louder, the better. Amen. Now your ears are so sensitive you can't hardly stand, you know, the radio on too. Amen. Amen. Change. Change. Amen. Change of mind. Change of heart. The Holy Spirit is at work on the inside of you. He has power to change. We said that the Holy Spirit is like cloud. That a cloud is a symbol of the Holy Spirit's abiding presence. That he's not with you sometimes, he's with you all the time. That's why Jesus could say, I never leave you nor forsake you. And he could say, lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. That he's not with you occasionally. He's not with you sporadically. He's with you all the time. So we see the Holy Spirit is as a cloud. We see the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. But then we said that he's like clothing. And the word clothing in the Greek is to be endued. To be endued, which means that believers are clothed with power. I'm not weak. I'm not weak. I'm strong. I have strength, spiritual strength, because the Holy Spirit is in me. Amen. Amen. You have to claim that, because Satan wants you to think you're weak. He wants you to think you're powerless. He wants you to think you cannot handle opposition. If you don't acknowledge the strength of the Holy Spirit, you will develop, if you have not already, a spirit of quitting. Some people are so quick to quit. Can't take much. And so Satan has bamboozled, has fooled them and has deceived them, and they don't know that they have power to resist the devil, to resist opposition. So you don't have to just be open for any and everything coming your way. You know, I used to say to Joseph Creek, God has not given you a nice spirit. You know, some people, when you are, you know, a strong individual, they use a whole lot of adjectives. They use a whole lot of words to describe you, to kind of, you know, unload and unravel you. But God has not given you a nice spirit, because the equivalent of being nice is stupid. You don't take everything that come and go. You got to have something that you believe in and you stand for. Amen. Amen. So he has given you power. He has endued you with power, clothed you with power. And listen, there has been a complete clothing, that you are totally covered in power. Amen. So the Holy Spirit completely clothed believers with power. That's why Paul could declare, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have the strength and the power, the ability to do what God has willed for my life, because I receive not only the command from the Lord, but with the command, he has given me or conditioned me to obey the command. The Holy Spirit is God conditioning the believer to obey him. So I'm not weak, because I have the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm weak in and of myself. When I'm not relying on the Holy Spirit, I'm weak. When I'm not relying on God, I'm at my weakest. But when I give it all over to the Lord, when I give my life fully to the Lord, when I heed because I hear, he equips, he endows us with power to obey. We said there's the earnest of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is like dew. Holy Spirit is like breath. Holy Spirit is like a dove, that it represents the gentleness, peace, purity of the Holy Spirit. But I want to get you to the last four. And I'm going to try to cover these last four. The seal of promise, the Holy Spirit is as fire, the Holy Spirit is as rain, and the Holy Spirit is as light. So we'll deal with first the Holy Spirit's seal of promise. Seal of promise. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ has anointed us in God. Anointed us is God. Who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. So we know him as the seal of promise. Now, the word seal means ratified, justified, and approved. So what God has done in the heart of the believer is ratified, he has justified, and approved. Now, I want you to get this, because you need inner confirmation. Don't live your life as a Christian only dependent of outer confirmation. In other words, you can't depend on other people to approve you. Now, if you don't have this settled within, you're easily shaken. You're easily disturbed. You're easily turned. You're easily disproved. But when you got it settled, when you know God, by way of his Holy Spirit, has ratified, has justified, and approved you. Now, let me tell you why this is so important, because it just came to me. Thank you, Lord. It just came to me. Now, in 2 Corinthians, Paul, you know, he was accused of lying. And they wanted to disprove Paul because he did not make it back to Corinth, as he said. But Paul said that he was at peace because his conscience had settled him. So there are times your consciousness has to be your witness in the courts of your inner self. That you can't rely on confirmation from outside sources. That God has to confirm you. So what Paul is saying in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22, that we have been established in Christ. And he has anointed us And he has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee that I've been stamped. That his stamp of approval is upon my life because I belong to him. You need the Holy Spirit to confirm that in your life, because there are times in your life that you may not act like a Christian, talk like a Christian, look like a Christian, and people may not even perceive you as a Christian, but thank God for the approval. Oh, I'm teaching better, y'all saying amen. That there's something settled in me, and it's because of the Holy Spirit that I have the seal of promise. Now, notice this guarantee is ratification, justification, and approval. Now, ratification is an official way of confirming. Official way of confirming. Now, write this. Write this. Number one, the Holy Spirit connects believers with God or with Christ. The Holy Spirit, number one, connects believers with Christ. I know I'm connected because the Holy Spirit is in me. Now, this settles a whole lot for us. When you know you're connected, you know, your salvation is not an assumption. I'm not assuming that I'm saved. I know I'm saved. The Bible says we can know that we are saved. So I'm not guessing on whether or not I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going. Amen. So he connects. The Holy Spirit connects believers with Christ. Number two, the Holy Spirit confirms believers in the body of Christ. So he connects me with Christ, but then he confirms believers in the body of Christ, the church. Now, here's the third thing. The Holy Spirit controls believers who yield to the Word of God. So, the Holy Spirit controls believers who yield to the Word of God. Now, he connects, he confirms, he controls. Now, notice how he controls. He controls believers who yield to the Word of God. Now, let me help you. Because not all believers yield. Now, to yield means you have to stop resisting. Now, let me help you. If the Word of God is brought before you and your response is but, you're not yielding. Because but erases, eradicates everything that was said before the but. So it's obvious that you are in opposition. You're not yielded. You're not surrendered. You're not given to the control of the Holy Spirit, because instead of you hearing and obeying the word, you argue with So the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God, sets it before the believers, and He controls those who are yielded. So on Sunday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, whenever you hear the Word of God, you're going to have two responses. Either you are yielded, or you are resisting. You are either taking it in, or you are resisting it. You won't let it in you. And let me tell you now, the Holy Spirit knows how to bring it to you. See, when I be up there preaching, and the Holy Spirit can grab it from my mouth, and by the time it hits your ears, is what you need. Now, you think I've been around your house. You think I've been snooping around your house, but the Holy Spirit has grabbed a hold of that word, and by the time it gets to your ears, is what you need, and there you mad at me. Catching me in the hallway out there talking about I'm meddling now. See, you don't understand the function and the work of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit can take it from my mouth. And by the time it hits your ears, it has so much convicting power. But now notice what He's trying to do is to change you, to shape you, mold you into the image of His Son. And there are some aspects about your life and your inner self, your being, that's not like His Son. And He's trying to commit or perform spiritual surgery on you, and you won't even make the appointment. You won't even show up to be operated on. He's the seal of promise. So we see that he connects, confirms, and controls believers who yield to the Word of God. That's important. That's important. When you resist God's Word, you resist God. And there are consequences. There are consequences. You know, God knows how to deal with you. And let me tell you something else. When God establishes His Word in a place, whether you're present or absent, you're responsible for it. That you have to yield. You have to yield. Not being so resistant, but yield to the influence of the Holy Spirit, the guide of the Holy Spirit, so your life can be pleasing to God. And God, listen, when your ways pleases Him, He'll bless your life. He'll bless your life. So we see that He's the seal of promise. So we said that seal means ratified, justified, and approved. Seal means to be approved by Christ and identified with Christ. Listen to this. The seal of promise distinguishes believers from people in the world. So there's a mark on you. There's a mark on you. I don't care how much you try to fit in. There's a distinguishing mark on you. I know, you know, all of us, well, most of us have gone to college and university, and we had ourselves a good time, college, university. And when you go back with some of your old friends, now that the mark on you, they know you different. I'll never forget when I was wrestling with the call, you know, heeding the call, surrendering to the call, and I used to be out with my buddies, and when God finally got me, you know, I went back to tell my friends. They said, well, we're not doubting you, but you just can't be out here doing what we do. And they knew it was a difference. Came to my first sermon, all of them cried. They cried and went back out there and drunk their wine and whiskey and, you know, parted. They cried. I buried five of them. And the Lord said, if you hadn't heeded the call, they'd been burying you. But he has a mark. You know, when you mature as a believer, you live with respect of the mark. That I'm not trying to prove myself to people in the world that I'm like them. I'm just living my life with the distinguishing mark of God, that I've been ratified. My God, I've been justified. I've been approved. There's a stamp of God on my life. And the Holy Spirit is the stamp of God within me. So he's the seal of promise. Write these two down, and I want you to go back and study Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29. Now, from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, I want you to know that you are sealed for the day of redemption, that you can never be lost. You're saved. You're sealed. Now, if it was left up to you, you'd jump in and out. And probably out more than in. If it was left up to me, same thing. That we'll be jumping in and out. But we're sealed. That's Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. But then, notice we'll never perish. We'll never snatched out of the Father's hand. That's John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29. Now that's assurance. You should live your life with peace and joy. I'll never be lost again. I'm forever saved. Thank you, Lord. You know, people sometimes, you know, say, well, you can go to, y'all know what I'm talking about. I ain't going. I ain't going. Now, I know that ain't good English, but it sounds better. It sounds better than I am not going. I ain't going. All right, let me deal with fire. I got just a few minutes. Let me deal with fire. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So the Holy Spirit is the burning flames of the Lord within the believer. So this purification or this purifying of the Holy Spirit is happening on the inside. He's making me better on the inside. He's adjusting me on the inside. Now, it will have its manifestation on the outside, but he's working with my mind and with my heart. And I got to be adjusted in my mind and heart. Really, heart, mind, same thing in Greek, cardia, which really means the mind. I need some adjustment in my mind. So the Holy Spirit is the burning flames of the Lord within the believer. Acts chapter 2, verse 3, then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. Now, in Acts, the tongues of fire represents the presence of God, the Holy Spirit. that the Spirit comes into our lives to transform us, cleanse and purify us so that we can become more like Christ. Now, that's the purpose of this salvific process. The plan, the salvific plan, the salvational plan of God is to make us like His Son. So you got to drop you doing you. You know, you hear some of these young people, you know, let me do me. No, when you give your life to the Lord, He's making you less like you and more like His Son. Because He was well pleased to look at His Son. But without His Son in your life, you are not pleasing to the Lord. So He wants pleasure from you. He wants pleasure in looking at you. He wants pleasure in relating to you. And so He's making you less like you, less like yourself, and more like His Son. So I know I got to shed some stuff. I need some adjustment in my mind. So Rogers won't be more like Rogers, but Rogers will be more like Christ. He wants to transform us, cleanse and purify us. So the Holy Spirit is not a damnable fire. He is a purifying fire. Burning some stuff out of your life that don't need to be in your life. You know, when He brings it to you, your response should be confess, to be cleansed of it. Let me say that again. When He brings it to you, all of those aspects about your life that's not pleasing to God, when He starts bringing it up in your life, then your response should be to confess those things and ask God to cleanse you of those things. Don't be content to be naughty and nasty in attitude. You know, we talked about that a few Sundays ago, and I didn't get many amens, but, you know, I knew I was on point, but, you know, we talked about it. But don't be content, because when the Holy Spirit brings it to you, your response should be to confess it. Lord, I know my attitude is not right. I know my attitude is negative, and my attitude is naughty and nasty. Help me not be governed by my naughty and nasty attitude. Help me, Lord, stop going off on people. Because regardless of how much you think people deserve you going off on them, that's not your character as a Christian. Or it shouldn't be your character as a Christian. Your conduct as a Christian. You should be able to take some folks saying some stuff to you. You've been on your job 20 years. And you've been taking all of that. All of that. You've been going back at them. Every time they say something to you, you know, it's been a kind of like a verbal tug of war. You've been going back and forth trying to see who can pull the other over the line. Who can make the other, you know, shame and embarrass. And then, you know, you got the audacity to put a little volume. So people can hear you go off. Because you want the other folks on the job to know you ain't playing either. 20 years. And the Lord been trying to adjust you for 20 years. You've been in that same third grade class for 20 years. Woo! And He's been trying to get you to the fourth grade and the fifth grade. Matter of fact, you know, you've been in that grade so long, He's going to have to advance you to the 10th grade. But you keep flunking. teacher that went over the test with you so many times, and you still marking the wrong answer. Because you can't do nothing with your attitude. He's a fire. He's trying to burn it out of your life. And you know, you just keeping it apart. You just resisting the Lord, resisting the Holy Spirit, and he's trying to burn it out of your life. So he purifies our hearts and minds. So the Holy Spirit directs our hearts and minds toward the will of God. Now, y'all get this now. He directs our hearts toward the will of God. So it's about the will of God. So I got to put myself, you know, somewhere on the back burner hole so the will of God can be accomplished in my life. I got to stop putting my will first. Oh, man. And I got to be governed and guided by the Holy Spirit so that God be pleased with my life. So he has to burn some stuff out of my life as a fire. Then we see him as rain. As rain. Psalms 72, verses 6 and 7. He shall be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In his days may the righteous flourish and peace abound till the moon be no more. So the Holy Spirit is as life-giving rain. Life-giving rain. So James chapter 5, verse 7, listen to this. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and latter rain. So there is no precious fruit of the earth without rain. You know, sometimes, and I'm just speaking now in the natural, we pray against rain. Especially when we got something to do. And you may be praying against the precious fruit of the earth. You want fruit, but you don't want the rain. Now, let me bring it in the spirit realm. Your life is not fruitful spiritually without the rain, without the Holy Spirit. You cannot bear spiritual fruit without the Holy Spirit. Now, some people don't want the fruit, or don't want the rain, the Spirit, but they think they are bearing fruit because they sound good, look good, dress good. But that doesn't mean you're fruitful. See, you need the Holy Spirit to bear fruit. So the Holy Spirit has to come into your life and water you. Water you so you be productive. Now, let me help you. You know, Jesus went out from Jerusalem looking for fruit. And he ran into a fig tree. The fig tree had leaves. And the Bible says that he rambled through the leaves and found no fruit. Now, here's the indictment. If the tree had leaves, it had everything necessary to produce fruit. So it angered the Lord, and he cursed the tree, and the Bible says he cursed it from the root. And so when they went into town and they came back by the tree was withered from the root up. The whole tree was withered. And they were amazed. So the Lord is expecting fruit. You've been in church for 30 years. And you haven't led one person to Christ? There's no one you can point to say you were influential as a child of God to help them know Christ. You got nieces and nephews. You got sons and daughters. You got uncles and aunts. A mama and a grandmama. A daddy and a granddaddy. And no one you can point to say you have helped them know Christ. Years in the church. Now, let me tell you what's happening. If you are not helping people come in, if you're not ushering them in, you may be ushering them out. You know, they sit by you and you got that grunt ministry. Every time something come up, you that's all you do in service is grunt. And you know that's your little sign of disapproval, you know. Why y'all making me act like this? Y'all I'm over in Alabama. Now I don't supposed to be acting like I was acting like I, you know, when I was in Mississippi. Why y'all got me doing this? You know. Rain. You have to be productive. The Holy Spirit wants to produce in your life, but listen, you got to be good ground, and knowing that you're a good ground, you have to be a good tree, because he's going to rain on you early and later rain, but he wants you to produce. Let me finish. I got 2 minutes. Let me finish. Light. So light, emblematic of the Holy Spirit's ability to guide, direct, and inspire. So emblematic of the Holy Spirit's ability to guide, direct, and inspire. That the Holy Spirit enlightens the mind to guide, direct, and inspire life. The life of a Christian. Now, 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. But ye have an unction from the Holy Spirit, or the Holy One, and ye know all things. Unction is anointing, charisma. Unction is the gift of the Holy Spirit as the all-efficient, which means he has the ability, or he enables believers to possess a knowledge of the truth. Now, don't miss that. When you open the Word of God, you cannot understand the Word of God with a carnal mind. Because what you think it's saying is not saying it. Now, if this book, this Bible, was inspired when it was written. You're going to have to be inspired to understand it. Because you open it and read it doesn't mean you have understanding. The Holy Spirit has to shine light on it. So when you read it, you have one of those aha moments. Oh, that's what that means. Are y'all with me? I mean, the simplest scripture, what you can perceive as the simplest verse in the Bible, you won't be able to understand it if the Holy Spirit does not shine light on it. Sometimes he doesn't instantly shine light on it. Sometimes the light comes on, or you inspired to understand it, days, weeks, months after you read it. But you don't know, you don't have knowledge of it until the Holy Spirit shines light on it. Okay. A lot of things you thought, you know, with this or that. And later on down the road, the Holy Spirit shined light on it. You said, man, I had it wrong. You know? That's why, you know, when you're preparing Sunday school teachers and Bible study teachers, children, church teachers, you need to pray and ask the Lord, Holy Spirit, to shine light on it. So you'll speak with understanding. You know, when you read of love in the Bible, you do know it don't mean the same thing everywhere in the Bible, don't you? Because you have different types. And you have to study it in the context. We error because we try to see it all the same. You know, he doesn't expect us to eros everybody. You can't have, you know, that exotic love for everybody. That's reserved for your spouse. Now, he expects us to philia. You know, he expects us to love our family with Stargate. You know, we was in marriage ministry the other day, and Sister Rogers, I called on her to give her answer, and she, you know, started showing her scholarship. I said, this girl deep here, boy. I can pick on it. Y'all can't pick on it. But you have to understand. But the Holy Spirit has to what? Shine light on it. Shine light on it. Because you don't understand it, don't discredit it. Just ask the Lord through the Holy Spirit to shine light on it. You know, preaching, teaching is a tall task because, you know, you want to be as concise as you can be and as correct as you can be when you're dealing with the Word of God. You know, you just can't throw a knife at it and let it cut itself now. The Bible says rightly dividing. So you need a lot of spiritual assistance, a lot of assistance from the Holy Spirit to shine light. Shine light. And I'm just enamored by how the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, is governing and guiding me. We started this year with church operating under the power and influence of the Lord. And here it is at the tail end of the year. We're dealing with Acts. And it's really Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because you see the evidence of the Holy Spirit. You know, we talk about apostles and all that. But the apostles were not empowered in and of themselves. It was after the Holy Spirit came. And then the evidence of the Holy Spirit is what you see happening in the historical book, which is Acts, how they went from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria, uttermost parts, ends with Paul. Went from Peter to Paul. And how God used Peter and Paul to not only bring salvation by way of preaching the gospel to Jews, because by the time you get to Acts chapter 18, the Jews' rejection of Paul turns Paul to the Gentile. Man. But God is fulfilling his purpose. We talked Sunday about, out of Acts chapter 4, how God had foreknowledge. It was predestined that even what wicked people are doing, even in their sinister behavior, God is fulfilling his will. That God is running people into his presence. That he's sovereign. Well, this thing is, I got to just quit. Any questions? Any questions? All right, let us stand, create our circle. Now, next week we won't have Bible study Tuesday or Wednesday because of Thanksgiving. We will have service Thanksgiving Day at 9 a.m. So make sure you write that in on your schedules. Make that an appointment that you don't want to miss. And we're looking to have a great time in the Lord. All right. You do.